This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, other than skin cancer, prostate cancer is the most common cancer in American men. And the American Cancer Society estimates that in 2013 alone, over 230,000 new cases of prostate cancer will be diagnosed, and almost 30,000 men will die of the disease. And about one man in six will be diagnosed with prostate cancer during his lifetime, making diagnosis and early detection critical. Dr. Srinivas Vorganti is assistant professor of urology at Upstate Medical University, and he's here with us with some news about a new procedure to help aid in that goal. Welcome, Dr. Vorganti. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Linda.
So I understand that you have introduced a new diagnostic procedure here that's not available widely. In fact, I'm told that only the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, is currently offering this technique. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what this technique is that it uses the MRI, which is magnetic resonance imaging, which many people have heard of and has been in the community for many years. It utilizes refinements in technique to diagnose where cancer is in the prostate gland itself.
So in other words, through that imaging that the MRI offers, you can find where exactly the tumor or tumors are located within the prostate gland.
Absolutely. And while it is offered widely, there is an art to reading this information, which there are very few centers in the world that have the true expertise in distinguishing the great deal of information from the MRI and finding where the true areas of suspicion are, which lead you to this cancer.
So is this a fairly new technique?
So MRI of the prostate has been around for years. And over that time, much like cell phones have gotten improved and computing has improved, there have been technological advancements in MRI.
Is it the resolution?
Yeah,
in other
exactly.
words, the clarity of the image.
It is. And there is even more complexity to it than just resolution. Like when people think about imaging, they think about megapixels of the camera. And that there are some analogies there. What we have is a improvement in the strength of the magnet and improvement in sequences and, quite frankly, improvement of a radiologist's ability to interpret the information that comes off of the machine.
So that all leads together to allow you to be more definitive in terms of both the location and perhaps more about the tumor.
Absolutely.
As well?
And that exactly is breakthrough science that came out of the National Cancer Institute, which I was very lucky and fortunate to be a part of over the last few years.
So that's exactly where you were trained.
Yeah, so before I joined Upstate very recently, Labor Day actually, the day after Labor Day is when I started. Before that, for 3 years, I was at the National Cancer Institute where I worked extensively with both the urology group. I'm a urologist, I'm a cancer surgeon, but I also worked extensively with the molecular imaging program, where they spent a great deal of time, the past 10 years really, with new tools and improving and refining the interpretation of this information. So they basically proved with great certainty and very, very thoughtful and innovative techniques that they could distinguish where the cancer is, and not only that, how aggressive it is. It helps both in screening for prostate cancer and confirming the diagnosis.
It's very interesting, but I was under the impression that it also helped guide the surgeon during a biopsy procedure. Is that true as well?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So what we have finally is the MRI offers us a map where we're worried about where cancer is and where it is not. Through a collaboration between NIH and the Philips Corporation, we were able to develop a platform which essentially allows us to feed these maps into our biopsy equipment in the office.
Wow.
And it's very analogous to a GPS system for a biopsy. So
is it in real time guiding you? Is that the idea?
Absolutely. So ultrasound has the advantage of giving you real-time information. MRI takes some time and a lot of thought to study and analyze. Finding these areas of suspicion can be done ahead of time, and in the office can be fed into our biopsy machine, reconstructed real time, and I'm able to pull up a real-time ultrasound image that has the MRI targets right on them.
Wow. So in other words, you would utilize this imaging technique, this navigational system, so to speak, to help you basically do a biopsy.
Absolutely.
And then you would be perhaps less apt to perhaps take too much tissue or too little tissue. Is that correct?
It's not so much taking too much or too little, but rather getting the needle in the right spot. And mm-hmm. that is the fundamental problem with biopsy. There's been lots of great work, and probably the most definitive work shows that our suspicion of cancer is based on a summation of risk from the whole gland, whether it's a PSA blood test or any of the new tests that are available that are coming online. Where the cancer is often and most likely being done in a very random fashion, where they put needles in and are doing a sampling.
So it's almost like they were doing it blind at one point.
Well, absolutely. And they did their best. When ultrasound hit the scene back in the 80s, they felt that they might be able to see where the cancer was, and it wasn't, but that did not turn out to be the case.
So this really does aid you in being much more accurate?
Absolutely. And we showed that at NCI and in a number of ways. We proved it with our radical prostatectomy specimens. We essentially did one-to-one correlation between the true answer of the pathology and the MRI maps, and it showed over 99% agreement.
Wow. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, here with Upstate urologist Dr. Srinivas Vorganti, and we're talking about a new procedure for the diagnosis of prostate cancer. Is biopsy currently still the definitive way of diagnosing prostate cancer?
So when you get the tissue from the prostate, the pathologist gets a lot of information about it, and Gleason score, which is essentially how aggressive the cancer appears to a pathologist, is very informative. There are new tests that are being done to add to this information. However, one very fundamental problem with biopsy is the blindness that you described. So we could sample and characterize the prostate tissue that is removed, but if we're missing a cancer, and there are areas of the prostate gland, especially in the front of the prostate, because we're approaching it from the back, that are undersampled, and we showed that. I wrote a paper at NCI when I was there where we took 200 men, 195 men, that did not have, they had suspicion of cancer. Their PSA blood test was rising, or people were concerned because of something they felt on the prostate, and they had multiple biopsies that were negative. We utilized the MRI in these situations that the urologists were afraid that they had cancer, but they could not find it. Some men had as high as 9 biopsies, on average 2. And we found cancer in these men that were unable to be discovered to have cancer originally.
Based on what?
Based on this MRI and our guidance system.
So in other words, you would repeat a biopsy after several attempts where nothing was found. You would repeat the procedure using your navigation system and find cancer.
In this particular setting, we discovered that 40% of the men had cancers, and it was not always cancers that you would want to miss. There are some cancers that are not clinically significant, and the point of this is not to find so many cancers so that we can do more treatment. What the point of this is to find out if you have bad disease, to be more certain about that. And then if you have non-aggressive disease, to be more certain about that.
I think that's really been the crux of the problem of late, it strikes me, is that we have not been able to date, it was not within my understanding, to accurately determine which of those cell types would be most aggressive, or how to say which man who may be diagnosed with prostate cancer really is going to go on to die from it, and others who might outlive the disease, so to speak, or they would live long, you know, they would die before the disease ever killed them.
That's ultimately and fundamentally the biggest problem that we have. Our goal for this procedure is to aid in the certainty of the questions that people have. And I treat many men with this disease, and the biggest and most fundamental problem that they have is that the current scientific tools cannot answer with certainty about decisions that are being made.
So is that your hope, that this particular technique will move us further along on that?
Absolutely.
Continuum?
And I believe that the preliminary evidence is certainly very promising. And it is our goal at Upstate, being very early to the field, is to cooperate with our patients and the greater scientific community, including NCI, to answer these questions in a thoughtful and scientific way.
Wow. Well, it's very exciting. Are you looking at this new technique to actually then change the outcomes? I mean, do you think that we will have less people dying of prostate cancer as a result, not only of this technique, but the direction you're heading?
There's two things, and that is a very lofty goal that scientists for years and surgeons for years have been aiming at, and that is everyone's hope. The other hope that is the elephant in the room of prostate cancer is that, can this be used to identify those men that do not need as aggressive treatment? So I believe that we are, in many ways, winning the war on prostate cancer. However, it is at the cost of overtreatment. So if we, because while there are many prostate cancer deaths, the prostate cancer death rate has gone down in the era of overtreatment. There has been a big backlash with this. So I do aim to fight the death rate from prostate cancer. That is my goal. That's why I get up. But I also aim to address overtreatment. And I believe one of the most promising elements of the MRI technology and such techniques is that it will aid in certainty and help us figure out who not to treat.
You know, that's incredibly important, and I applaud you for that effort. And I think it's very, very exciting that you are here. And you said you just came a little while ago. How are you liking Central New York?
It is amazing. I have some ties to the area. I have family out in Auburn, but this is the first time I've lived in the city, and it's a very exciting place. It is a true academic institution, and within months of starting, with the aid of my chairman, Dr. Brotsovsky, I was able to set up a very state-of-the-art imaging program. I spent all summer collaborating with NCI, and the point of this is it's not everywhere that you can set something like this up. So it really requires cooperation, multidisciplinary support, and that exists definitely at Upstate Medical University.
Well, we are so happy to have you here in Central New York. I think there'll be a lot of men who are going to be very, very gratified that you are here. So thank you so very, very much. A lot of people in general, thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Srinivas Vorganti. He's Assistant Professor of Urology at Upstate Medical University. Thanks again for coming.
Thank you very much.